Hello, dear friends. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable inviting you to stay tuned for this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus right here on WMAF. If you're part of the listening family of WMAF right there in Madison, North Florida, we welcome you today. And if you're part of the listening family of WMAF anywhere in the world that is connected to the World Wide Web, we do welcome you today. And if you have downloaded this particular edition of Let's Talk About Jesus from our website, we welcome you today. The anointing that is going to come, that is beginning already as we approach the Word of God, amen, is going to be on this whenever and wherever you are hearing this broadcast. Praise God. Now, I found out something about the anointing. When it comes forth, it stays on a tape, it stays on a compact disc, it stays on a delayed broadcast that is brought up on the radio by tape or disc. I'm telling you, amen, God's Word is anointed and appointed to do a work in every heart that will receive it. So we pray for good ground hearts today. And if you're not a Christian, would you please be our special guest? Normally we make the invitation at the end of the broadcast. I pray before we make the broadcast and ask God's blessing upon His Word, and that I may deliver it in a fashion that will be pleasing to Him and will open the eyes and understanding of those who hear. Now, here's something today that we must do different. I already started this broadcast and I had to stop it because the Holy Spirit impressed me that there's someone that's been running from God that needs to run to God. Someone is probably ready to turn the dial. And normally the invitation is given at the end of the broadcast to come to Jesus. Today we're going to give the invitation right now that you might stay tuned. There'll be another invitation at the end, but please don't turn the dial today. I rarely ever do this, and I feel impressed to the Lord to do it this way. Heavenly Father, I pray for the person that you are touching right now. Right now, up front, not at the end where we normally give the invitation, but right now, the Holy Spirit is drawing you. Yes, you. Whoever you are, you know exactly what is happening in your heart, and it's God tugging at your heartstrings. It's Jesus knocking at the door of your heart. If you open the door, Revelation chapter 3 said, "If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and sup with him and him with me." God loves you today. Don't run from him. Run to him. Don't run away from conviction. Run to Christ for salvation. Hallelujah. We love you today. That's the whole purpose that we are on the air, is to edify the church, to instruct Christians, and to call those who don't know him to come to know him. That's why the name of the broadcast is not "Let's Talk About Our Catechism, Our Creed," although Christians have both. Amen. Our dogma. No, we're talking about our Savior. We're not talking about political views here today. We're not talking about a great pastor, apostle, prophet, or minister. We're talking about Jesus Christ, the only one that can save today. And we do pray, because we're elevating and exalting His great name, that the Holy Spirit will move mightily to touch hearts and lives. I believe it's occurring on the onset of this broadcast. So someone, somewhere, God is called to salvation by His Spirit as we begin this message today. Hallelujah. We love you so much. God loves you so much today. Run to Him. Accept Christ as your Savior. Amen. This is so different today. We have a great subject as we gather around the Word of God. And our subject for this study is "Consider Him, the Power of a Focused Faith." Consider Him, speaking of Jesus Christ, the power of a focused faith. I'm a stickler for teaching that we don't need to have faith in our faith, because if we build faith in our ability to believe instead of the faithfulness of the God who called us, amen, we're going to shake and shudder and fall and fail. If our faith weakens and wanes, we will weaken and wane. This is not about faith in your faith. This is about faith in His faithfulness. Faith in your God. That's why we're talking about the power of a focused faith, biblical faith, spiritual faith, true faith. The focus is always on God. It's always upon Jesus, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Highly developed faith means that we have a focus unbroken. It's always looking to Jesus for everything we are, everything that we do, and everything that we need. Hallelujah. Well, let me read the scripture. I'm teaching it before we even read it. Let me read it. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 through 3. Listen carefully. Wherefore, seeing that we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your own mind. Consider Him that suffered such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your own mind. Consider Him, Jesus, suffering, dying upon the cross. That's why in every communion service, in every Christian gathering, Jesus instructs us to remember Him. Every time we participate in the Lord's Supper, He said, do this in remembrance of Me. Not just healing the sick, raising the dead, working all of the miracles that we seem to love to focus on more than anything else, but consider Jesus suffering and dying upon the cross, lest we be weary and faint in our own mind. You see, it's very easy for me, and I'm sure it is for you, for we all live in this human body. We all battle with the flesh. Even though our spirit is willing, the Bible is very clear that our flesh is weak. And it's so easy when I'm hurt to focus on me, discouraged, focus on me. Disappointed, focus on me. When someone has done me wrong, done me harm, spoken terribly about me, broke a covenant with me, a friend that don't even care if I live or die anymore, that used to be a close friend, it's so easy to get the poor old me's. And the moment I start focusing on me, I'm no longer focused on Christ suffering and dying for me. And once that focus on Him is broken, my faith is no longer in that place of unshakable confidence and assurance that gives me the courage to get up and go on even if I've been knocked down. The courage and strength to run even though I feel fatigued because of the emotional hit that I've taken. There's something about getting the focus off of me, my problem, my pressure, and my pain, and putting my focus back on the One who died for me on that old rugged cross. Friend of mine, when I'm canceled out and He is exalted, I receive courage, I receive strength, and I want to run with patience, perseverance, praise God, and endurance, the race that is set before me. That's why Jesus said at Holy Communion, consider Me, and what sinners did, the contradiction. And I'm not just talking about the people that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, but the people that put Him on the cross, how they hated Him and how they antagonized Him and how they cried out, "Crucify Him." And how they cried out, "Physician, heal yourself. You've healed others, heal yourself." Listen very carefully today. If I focus on me, I can't focus on Him dying for me. And once I quit looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of my faith begins to waver and my faith begins to wane. This is not just about having my faith stimulated by promises. My faith needs to be stimulated by the love that Jesus Christ showed for me and for you, friend, when He was staying on the cross in order to say it's finished and to save us, to purchase our salvation at such a great cost. It makes me want to live every day of my life running this race with endurance, running it with persistence and perseverance. That is what the word patience is encapsulating here. And Jesus instructed us to remember Him. And it doesn't mean to recall some vague memory of Christ's sufferings way in the distant past in our behalf. Ancient history at the cross. A memory dimmed by the mist of passing time, but rather a vivid and present view of Jesus, our sacrifice lamb, laying down His life for us. See, this doesn't just stimulate mere emotional responses, but it should call to the heart itself a deep devotion to Him. And when I'm deeply devoted to Him, praise God, I want to please God more than please me. I want to serve God more than serve self. In fact, I want to deny myself, in that I may take up my cross and follow Jesus Christ, and not see taking up my cross as a burden, but as a blessed opportunity to express my love for my Lord and my Master. It is meant to change our focus from ourselves to Jesus Christ, to stimulate our faith because of what He's done for us on the cross, to renew our hope, to evoke our love for the Lord, to keep that first love burning brightly, to strengthen our resolve to keep on keeping on. See, that's the key to Christian victory. It's not never being knocked down. It is always getting up. I want to say that again. Christian victory doesn't mean that you're never knocked down. It means always getting up. That's the thought of this message. This is an endurance race. This is not about some spiritual wind sprint where you run full out and then get discouraged and quit. This is an endurance race. Praise God. Amen. It's a battle. We used to sing, it's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room. It's a fight and not a game. So run if you want to, run if you will, but I came here to stay. Praise God. I learned early on in my Christian life that the Christian life is a battle. There's a war to be fought and won. And in order to keep running this race, we need to win this battle over the world and the flesh and the devil. And I want to report to you that this is a battle that has to be fought daily, not fought one time and never fought again. I'm still in the thick of it every single day. As Paul said, I buffet my body and I bring it into subjection. That's the only way to win this battle, is to conquer the flesh. Every day I submit myself unto God, as the Scriptures tell us to do, and resist the devil, and we get a view of the devil that few people ever see, and more of us need to see, and that's the backside of the devil. To see him fleeing from us instead of always coming against us, and so many times prevailing. Ah, friend of mine, there's victory in Jesus Christ. Make no mistake about it. You surrender to God today and resist the devil from a surrendered posture to the will and purposes of God. You're going to find that there is victory over the flesh. There is victory over the world system. There is victory over the devil himself, who uses the weakness of our flesh and the world system. Ah, friend, we can fall so in love with Jesus that we can stop loving the world. The Bible said, love not the world, nor the things that are in the world, because if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. See, Jesus said you can't serve God and mammon simultaneously. We can't go after the values of the world. We can't sustain and maintain a worldview and have victory in Jesus. We will lose that battle. Ah, but if we get a kingdom perspective and we begin to live our life in the light of the soon coming of Jesus, in the light of the cross and what He's done for us on the cross, it will bring a devotion that says what the old Christian hymn said long ago, take this whole world and give me Jesus. I won't turn back. I won't turn back. This is what is so exciting about these verses of Scripture. It means by fixing our eyes upon the only one who endured it all and conquered gloriously, we can find the invisible strength which can keep us from fainting. This is the only strength in weakness, the only burning flame when all furnaces go out, the only restorer in weakness, and the only enabler in the day of weariness, looking unto Jesus and considering Him, and not looking to ourself, but looking to our Lord and looking to our Master. In the book of Hebrews, there are 7 references to Jesus personally, not about Him, but concerning His person. They cover the whole mediatorial work of the new covenant of grace. And we're called in each incident to consider Him. Hallelujah. Number 1, in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9 and 10, consider Jesus crucified. Consider Jesus crucified. It says, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Consider Jesus crucified. He took on flesh, made a little lower than the angels. He took on flesh that He might go to the cross. That's why He was born in the manger. God incarnate. God in flesh. His name would be called Jesus, a Savior. But in order to be a Savior, He had to be a sacrificed lamb. In order to be a Savior for sinners, He had to be treated as a sinner, take the punishment that we deserved in order that we might be forgiven. Oh, what a Savior. Oh, hallelujah. Consider Jesus crucified. We sing, thank you for the cross, my friend, as one of our worship songs. Jesus didn't just die a quick and painless death to redeem us, but rather He suffered on a cruel cross. The authentic gospel centers on Jesus and Him crucified. Make no mistake about it, the foundation for the Christian faith is what Jesus did and what He accomplished for us at the cross. And that's why the Apostle Paul said, I don't want to know anything among you save Jesus and Him crucified. Every blessing, every benefit, every purpose of God was established in our behalf when Jesus hung between heaven and earth, became our mediator between us and God, who we had offended, who we had sinned against and blasphemed. Jesus bridged the gap that our sins had created. That great chasm between unholy man and the holy God was bridged at Calvary when Jesus said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. That is the message, and this is the method by which God would reach down to fallen man. And this is the method by which we could reach up and take the hand of the man from Galilee. Praise God. Thank you for the cross. The authentic gospel centers on Jesus and Him crucified. There's so many tangents we can get in. There's so many other messages, things that we can focus on. But if you're going to run this race with endurance, you've got to focus on Jesus and Him crucified. Hallelujah. That makes me never want to look back. And friend, if you don't look back, you're not in danger of going back. Jesus made a one-sentence statement to New Testament Christians and to us today that are following Him. He said, remember Lot's wife. You may know the story. In the Old Testament, Lot was delivered from the city of Sodom just before that city was to be destroyed. And he and his wife left that city. His daughters left with him. And as they walked away from Sodom, his wife's heart was still in the city. Even though she had been delivered from the city of destruction, her focus wasn't on God's grace and God's goodness and their deliverance. Her focus was on the city that she loved, the city where she felt at home. Ah, friend, what a warning it is about the world and how it beckons us back. No matter how far we try to distance ourselves, it beckons us back. And she looked back, and when she did, an extraordinary judgment fell upon her as a warning for us here in the 21st century. And the judgment that fell was so extraordinary that she was turned into a pillar of salt, a statue of salt. Friend of mine, listen carefully today. This is a warning to every believer to not look back, because if you look back, you'll find yourself wanting to go back. And you can't run with resolve, resilience, strength, purpose, and this race and perseverance, this race that is set before us while looking back to the world. You've got to let the focus of your faith be upon Jesus and Him crucified. There's nothing. Oh, I love that song, that camp meeting song that comes to my mind. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me and the cross before me. I won't turn back. I won't turn back. I have decided to follow Jesus. Hallelujah. That little song has within it a call to a quality commitment to follow Jesus Christ and to not look back. Hallelujah. Paul put it this way in the New Testament, the New Covenant. He said, forgetting the things that are behind and reaching forth to the things that are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. You can see this principle. Giving him the faith, the courage, the spiritual stamina, if you please, to keep on keeping on in spite of all that he faced and all the persecutions and the personal trials and the beatings and the shipwrecks and the hunger and the nakedness and the sword. Everything that threatened him was offset that he might run the race that was before him and finish the course. And he did, in spite of all that he went through. And there is a great key to his victory, and he's showing us what it is in these verses of Scripture. Consider him that suffered such a great contradiction of sinners against himself, unless you be wearied and faint in your own mind. Oh, friend, today, consider Jesus crucified. Hallelujah. If you will look to Calvary, if you will set your gaze upon Jesus dying for you, and not let anything eclipse that event, don't let any circumstance try to tell you that God doesn't love you, because God loved you enough to give his Son, and Jesus loves you enough to stay on the cross so that you could be saved. And that's why Paul said, you know, we can get into all kinds of political and even theological discussions, but I came to tell you what the central theme of the gospel of Jesus Christ is. What is the fundamental but the foundational truth that you need to stay focused on? I don't want to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Listen, preacher, don't preach Sunday what has upset you this week. Somebody in that audience needs to focus on the cross, and friend, so do you. If you're going to make it, if you're going to follow through with your ministry, if you're not going to be one of those statistics, 17,000 a year, approaching 20,000 in America, pastors will leave their pulpits and churches, not because they're going to another church or some other area of ministry, but because they have fainted. They have given in and given up. Friend, I want you to know today that I feel the same discouragements. I go through the same trials, but I am focused on Jesus and him crucified. And I want to serve him and finish the course that God has set for me. We're getting ready to celebrate 40 years of pastoral ministry here in Tampa at the Holy Church of God, where this broadcast originates, an affiliate of Independent Assemblies of God in Good Standing since 1974. God had to help me keep focused to make it thus far. I'm celebrating and just celebrated just a few months ago, getting ready to move into our 51st year of marriage. God had to keep us together through all the pressures that are brought to bear. Amen. But God's grace is sufficient, but we had and we still have to stay focused on Jesus, for he and he alone is the author and the finisher of our faith. Hallelujah. It started with him. It's going to end with him. And all in between, it is Jesus. Oh, it is Jesus. We prayed at the beginning for someone. If you have stayed tuned, I want you to know there's victory in Jesus. You can become a Christian. You can follow Jesus Christ. There's power in a focused faith, looking unto Jesus. Don't look at yourself. Don't look at your weaknesses. Don't look at your habits and your hang-ups. But look to Jesus, dying in your place. And know if you receive him, he will come in. And it won't be you that lives anymore. It'll be Christ that lives in you. and you can follow Him, and you can have victory. Ah, friend, pray and repent of your sin and receive Jesus today. Well, our time is gone. Would you please come back next week and let's talk about Jesus.